ever thrown you a curveball that you weren't sure what to do with? You know, the kind where you think, someone should really do something about this. Have you ever thought, maybe that someone is me? And then found yourself on a grand adventure you never saw coming? Me too. As a special needs mom, I have been saddened by what's available to my son. But instead of wallowing in it, I decided to do something about it. Along the way, I'm meeting extraordinary people and having the most wonderful experiences I never thought I'd have. I'm so inspired by what's happening around me that I want to share it all with you. Living Your Legacy is a community where ordinary people who've been called to create something bigger than themselves can come together to be inspired, connect, learn, and live into the legacies they want to see in the world. I'm your host, Michelle Slaney-Travato, and this is the Living Your Legacy podcast. Well, hello, everybody. Michelle Slaney-Travato here, and I am so excited to welcome you back for another episode of the Living Your Legacy show. In today's episode, I have the most extraordinary guest, and she is going to talk to us about some really important things. But before we do that, I just want to mention that, of course, the Living Your Legacy show is all about interviewing legacy makers, and our guest is one of them, interviewing the professionals who support legacy makers, and our guest is one of them, and people who have ideas on how you can create your own legacy. And our guest is one of them. She's checking off all the boxes today. But before we jump in and introduce her, I want to talk to you just a little bit about clutter. Ugh. It's like one of those nasty little words that we all have. Everybody's got that junk drawer we avoid looking into. Maybe you can't even open it because it's so full of stuff. Or maybe you are surrounded by physical clutter. Or maybe you feel that your life is so cluttered. It's so hard to make sense of anything. Or emotionally, you're super cluttered and you can't figure out, like, you're hanging on to all this stuff and you just feel like you can't take on one more thing. We know that clutter is not good for us. We know this, and it can prevent you from doing so many things. It can prevent you from getting yourself organized, like at home, clearing out that drawer, deciding what's important, what's not important. It can prevent you from getting through your to-do list. And I don't know if you're like me, but mine is usually about a mile long. And every time I check off one thing, I end up adding like 7 or 8 down at the bottom of the list that need to be done. And it's hard to decipher sometimes what's really important. Like, I need to do this now, it's urgent. What's important, I should do it today or tomorrow. What's not super important, like, I can put it off for 3 or 4 days, or I can schedule it for a little further down the line. It's hard to make those decisions when everything feels so cluttered. Or, like me, when I look through my 4-page to-do list, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do first? There's so many things here. So it's so easy to get overwhelmed in all the clutter. And it's so hard, funny enough, to organize it. It's easy to create it, but so much more difficult to organize it, to kind of wade our way through it, to get rid of it. But what if we could? What if we could actually start looking at things differently so that we can declutter our own lives in order to put priority onto the things we really want to be accomplishing, like living into our legacies? What if we could do that? What if we gave that stuff priority so that we could gain some momentum and actually feel like we're moving the needle and creating some success in our own lives? I know that that would make me feel amazing, and I bet it would make you feel amazing. And today we have an extraordinary woman on who's going to share with us how we can do this. Isn't that exciting? I'm so excited. So let me tell you about her. This is my friend, Barbara Hemphill. Barbara is the Vision Accelerator and founder of Productive Environment Institute. So cool, all these titles. I can't wait to dig into it. She is passionate about helping entrepreneurs and leaders eliminate clutter and accelerate their vision to leave a legacy that matters. Now you know why I have her on here. This is going to be so awesome. Barbara started her career in organizing in 1978. Now get this, folks, with a $7 ad in a New York newspaper. I'm going to get her to tell us about this because it's such a cool story. A team of certified productive environment specialists deliver her world-class expertise virtually now. Her best-selling book, it's her first one, Taming the Paper Tiger, helped her launch and grow the organizing industry. Her signature book, Less Clutter, More Life, and don't we all want that, reveals that physical and digital clutter is a symptom of emotional and spiritual clutter. And I'm sure she's got some thoughts on that to share with us and how we can help ourselves declutter some of that stuff. The 20th anniversary edition of Love It or Lose It, Living Clutter-Free Forever, was released in 2023. And Barbara is going to tell us later where we can find all these books. She was named a member of 100 Women to Know and is featured in 100 Top Entrepreneurs and Innovators in the U.S. And we are so blessed to have her today on our show. Barbara, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I love to support you and the people that you're supporting. So anything that I can do to add to that would be a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. Now, Barbara and I have actually connected a couple of times and had several conversations that left me feeling so inspired that I really wanted to get her on the show so that she can then share with you the things that inspired me. So Barbara, I start all of my episodes with this question. When you were in grade four, what did you want to be and did you do it?
I wanted to be a lawyer to begin with. I have no idea where that came from. I grew up on a farm in Nebraska. I don't know why I wanted to be a lawyer. But then I decided that that wasn't a career that mixed with family.
Okay.
And family was very important to me. And I loved music. I started playing the piano when I was five. So I decided to go to college for music. And I graduated with a degree in music, taught school for 1 year, and said, there has to be another way to make a living. I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. And I figured out there were two reasons. One was I loved music. And the people I was teaching, it was a consolidated school, rural, where you were sitting on benches in the cafeteria for music. And I loved music, and teaching it to people who didn't want to learn it just broke my heart. Mm. But more importantly, I dislike structure intensely. And the idea that I knew where I was going to be every hour of the day, 5 days a week for 9 months was like prison. And so that wasn't for me. So I tried several other things, but then that led me into being an entrepreneur, which I've been doing now for over 40 years.
Okay. So wanting to be a lawyer, being a farm town girl, not sure why, probably because the title sounded cool. and then not pursuing that. Tell us now, I know that you have traveled, and I do want to know about that $7 ad in that New York newspaper. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey that took you from not wanting to be a music teacher to where you are now?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, my husband and I lived in India during the Vietnam War. And we worked for an organization called Church World Service. We were there for almost 5 years, working with the U.S. government, delivering foodstuffs and doing things like that. And we adopted three orphan children, ages 2, 3, and 4, one with special needs, one who came from Mother Teresa's orphanage. She was 2.5, but she couldn't walk or talk or crawl. And they estimated that her brain size was 20% of what it should have been. And I'm happy to report that this week I'm flying to Iowa to help her celebrate her 50th birthday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we moved back to New York City, and my husband worked for a nonprofit and didn't get paid enough to pay for living expenses in New York City. So I needed to bring money into the household, and I didn't have a license to teach music even if I wanted to. So it's like, okay, what am I going to do? So I thought, I'm going to listen for a problem in the world that I can solve that people will pay me for. And because I grew up on a farm, I was thinking, we lived in a community with 5 high rises, and I was very handy. I used to travel around my father, and I could fix faucets and lamps and things like that. So I thought, okay, I can do a handy girl business. But in New York, you have to be a member of the union. So I was like, okay, well, that won't work. So I sat on the playground to listen to what people were complaining about. And I began to hear comments about clutter and disorganization and overwhelm. And I thought, they didn't have my mother and father. I grew up in this farm. My father was a dairy farmer. Well, farmers have to be organized. Otherwise,
yes,
there wouldn't be any crops and the cows wouldn't get milked and all of those sorts of things. And my mother worked for the owner of a bank for 46 years. So wow. She was all about administrative and systems and things like that. We lived in the second floor of a tenant farmhouse, and there were four of us and didn't have a lot of space. And it was sometimes cluttered just because there was a lot of us in a short space. But if the phone rang and it was the preacher coming, it only took a few minutes to get things put away, and they were put away in the right place. They weren't stuffed away because things did have a place. You know, that old adage, people think, oh, you know, you're about a place for everything and everything in its place. And I say, no, that's a lie. That's half true. There has to be a place for everything. Mm-hmm. But the problem is clutter happens to all of us. But if there's a place for everything, then you can recover. But if there isn't a place, then that's the problem. And that's kind of where organizing comes in. So at any rate, I took $7 out of the grocery money, which was a big deal because I used to walk 20 blocks because I didn't have 50 cents for the bus. Mm-hmm. And it said disorganized. I organized closets, files, kitchens, you name it, call Barbara Humphill. And like a lot of entrepreneurs with a rocky start, I got 3 crank calls from guys trying to pick me up. And the fourth call was from a 55-year-old widow. Her husband was an attorney, a solo practitioner. He had died suddenly, and his legacy was a mess. A lot of people think a cluttered mess as a legacy. And she didn't have any children. So in many ways, I did what a daughter would have done. And I walked in. She didn't know she was my first client. I charged $10 an hour and lived in horror that someone was going to ask me what made me think I was worth $10 an hour. And I walked in and I saw the piles of paper and I thought, oh, what in the world have I done? But I thought, well, you just do what you know to do. And I knew that with clutter, putting like things together was a place to start. Mm-hmm. So I started with the piles of paper and it's like, okay, this pile's for the stockbroker and this pile's for the insurance agent and this pile's for the accountant. And that's how it all started. And to promote the business, I would give speeches at parent-teacher associations or church groups or garden clubs or anybody that would give me the platform. And I'd do a little speech on, you know, 10 ways to organize your kitchen or 10 ways to organize your files or 10 ways to get organized for Christmas or something. And I quickly learned that the number one problem was paper. Mm-hmm. We could do the closets and the cupboards and the garage, but the things that really got people down was the paper, piles of paper. Boxes of paper, paper they'd inherited from previous generations. And back in our day, it was bank statements. We used to get the canceled checks wrapped up in bank statements and people would keep them for decades. And, and the question people asked me was, how long do I keep? And I didn't really know the answer, but I thought, well, surely there's a book at the library about that. So I went to the library and much to my amazement, there was not. And I thought, this is amazing because it doesn't matter if somebody earns $18,000 a year or $800,000 a year. Everybody needs to know how long to keep real estate records or medical records or insurance records or things like that. Mm-hmm. So in 1988, I wrote a book called Taming the Paper Tiger, which was a book about all those things. That book exists today. I renamed it. Now it's called Organizing Paper at Home, What to Toss and How to Find the Rest. It doesn't tell people how long to save it, because everybody's different. It tells people what questions to ask so that they can answer it for themselves, which is really the important part.
Well, they say information is power, right? The more you know,
it is if you implement it, that's the tricky part. And I'm sorry to say, but I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands of people who have bought Taming the Paper Tiger. I know I've met many of them. I will go someplace to an event. I do a lot of major speaking engagements, and somebody will introduce me as Barbara Humphill, and they won't know who I am. And then they'll say, she wrote Taming the Paper Tiger. Oh, I have that book. And then sometimes, depending upon how devilish I feel, I'll say, and did you read it? Or more importantly, did you implement it? And most of the time, the answer is no, because the reason we don't is because there are two reasons. And the first one is the most important thing for your listener. And that is, if you want to get organized, if you want to get rid of the overwhelm, if you want to get rid of the clutter, the number one thing is you have to believe that you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80% mindset.
Wow.
And reading all the books in the world is probably not going to change the mindset without some help. And then the second thing is about accountability. Because when life is busy, and certainly all the people listening here have a very busy life, otherwise they wouldn't be wanting to know the information you're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't get up one morning and say, oh, well, I don't think better to do. I'm going to clean out the junk drawer.
Usually it's out of desperation. Like, I can't find this thing, and I bet somebody put it in the junk drawer. Now I've got to dig through that whole thing to find the one thing I'm looking for.
Well, and that brings up an interesting thing, which is there's always a tipping point. I remember Malcolm Gladwell wrote mm-hmm. a wonderful book called The Tipping Point, in which it talked about, and I lived in New York at the time, it was like they decided to clean up the crime in New York, and they started by fixing the broken windows. And everybody said, well, what's that difference? Well, the broken windows meant nobody cared, and nobody cared meant that the drug dealers hang around and all of that. Well, clutter is a tipping point. And so one of the things I tell parents, in fact, I just talked to a prospect on the phone about it this morning, who himself is really struggling with clutter, and he has a 4-year-old son. And he was hesitant to invest what it was going to take, because it is an investment to hire somebody to help you organize your clutter. And then when he told me he had a 4-year-old, I said, you know, this is not only an investment in you, it's an investment in your children. Because I remember when I first started organizing homes, I would walk in. Now we do it almost all virtually, because people mm-hmm. really don't want you to see their mess. They don't really want you to be there. And we can do it virtually, and it's less expensive. And actually, people learn more, because we also learn kinesthetically. Mm-hmm. So that means they're actually physically doing it, which means they're learning more while they're doing it. So that was a benefit. And we were doing that before COVID, which was a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, what I would do is they would start complaining about their kids' clutter. And I would say, let's go back and look at your office. And it always looked like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you have no right to tell your children, clean up your room when yours looks like this. And they do learn by what we role model. I think about my first marriage failed after 14 years. I married again. And we had, my husband had 2 children. I had 3 children, and they were all teenagers.
Oh, wow. Which, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. One was special needs, you know, and there were 4 drivers, and somebody was always saying, where's the keys? And one day I came home with a magnetic rack that hung on the refrigerator. And I said to all the kids, in the future, if I find any car keys, I will hang them on this rack. But don't ask me, do you know where the keys are? Because if I know where they are, that's where they are. Well, 3 of the 4 children now have magnetic racks on their kitchen or something similar. So we are responsible for role modeling, and we are leaders. One of the things I work a lot with companies, and I say, great leaders create great cultures. And a great culture and a family needs to create a great culture. And part of a great culture is an uncluttered culture.
Mm-hmm. And yet, so many of us don't have that. As I said before, it's easy to have things kind of pile up on you, physically pile up on you. Well, but also, you know, those emails, like people share those images, right, of the emails they haven't opened. It's like 8,000, 15,000. And they're like, oh, I need to go in and delete my email. But when you look at the number, it's so overwhelming that people just don't do it.
We had a client in one of, we do boot camps where people work in group, and we have a digital boot camp. One of the clients had 144,000 emails. I didn't know that was possible, but it is.
Wow. Wow.
So one of the things that I mentioned, that mindset was the number one thing. The number two thing is, it is a myth that if you just got organized, you could keep everything, have everything, find everything, do everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just is. And that is something we put on ourselves that causes great guilt and shame and overwhelm and all sorts of things. So part of what we do, the business has been based on four words, mm-hmm. which I learned from clothes closets. Clutter is postponed decisions.
Ooh, say that again.
Clutter is postponed decisions.
Oh, that's deep. Explain it.
So your closet fills up because you haven't decided when you're going to lose the 10 pounds you need to lose to get back into that favorite pair of pants again. Mm-hmm. Or that exercise equipment that looks so good on Home Shopping Network that hasn't been out in longer than you can remember. And then there's the candlesticks you got from Aunt Sally. You love Aunt Sally. The candlesticks are not really your style, but if she came for Thanksgiving dinner, it would be wonderful to have them on the table. The same thing's true with a pile of paper. So as women, one of the things we have all the time is that our spouses and our kids dump their stuff on the kitchen counter and we go to cook and the kitchen counter is piled with all the mail and the papers to go back to school and all that kind of stuff. And so you say, okay, today's the day I'm going to clean it up. And you pick up the first piece of paper and think about, well, I can't do that because I need to do this. And I can't do this. I can't do this. And before you know it, the pile that was here is over here. And oh my gosh, I got to go pick up the kids at soccer. And then there's email, open, close, mm-hmm. open, close, open, close. And before you know it, 45 minutes have gone by and nothing has changed except your mood, which is now dropped because you realize how far behind you are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take paper. And I talk a lot about paper because it's the most difficult for people to do. But it's also a great teacher because if you learn to organize your paper, everything else gets easier. I cannot explain why. I just have observed that with thousands of clients. It is the last thing everyone wants to do. If people are moving or relocating or downsizing, they will do everything until they leave the last is the paper. And frequently then move the boxes of paper from one location to the other. We've had clients where they were literally, I talked to someone this week, has two storage units full of boxes of paper from move after move after move.
Wow.
Because no one was willing to make the decisions involved. And here's the reason why. This is the next thing that listeners need to know. The reason we have difficulty making decisions boils down to one thing, emotion.
Talk about that.
Our papers represent our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our intentions, our expectations. And then you look at our physical stuff. So our society has reached a stage of clutter crises.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is because my generation, I'm 77 years old, and my generation, we saved things. China, crystal, furniture, memorabilia, photographs, silverware. For our children and our grandchildren. And most of them want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is they've seen how much we've struggled with it. And they're not interested in spending their lives that way. They're much more interested in experiences than they are in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That brings up an enormous emotional trauma in some cases for my generation. Because what does that say about me? What does that say about how I have spent my life and what is important to me?
Mm-hmm.
So I one of the things I've learned years ago, I was autographing Taming the Paper Tiger at Barnes & Noble in New York City. And I made the comment that when I worked with somebody that had trouble letting go of things, whether it was a piece of paper or a wine glass that had been in the cupboard for 50 years and never been used, if I ask enough questions, I would always find out that that person had experienced a severe emotional loss.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the book signing, this young man, probably in his middle 20s, came up to me and he said, my apartment is full of primarily paper. He said, I haven't had anybody in it for months, including my family. And he said, I come home from work at night and I say, okay, tonight is the night I'm going to clean this up. And he said, the biggest flat space in my studio New York apartment is a bed. And he said, I literally start sorting the papers on my bed. And he said, I become physically paralyzed. And he said, some nights I literally shove my bed, my papers aside and crawl into bed with my own paper. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he said, my mother died when I was 6. Are you telling me I have to deal with the grief of losing my mother before I can manage my paper? I said, well, I'm not a mental health professional, so I can't answer that. But what I can tell you from my experience is that if you find someone you trust, most likely not a family member, who can help you decide, remember, clutters postpone decisions, help you decide what you need and what you want to keep, not what somebody else thinks or whatever, but what who you are. And part of the reason that I'm in this business, I don't have to work. People say, when are you going to retire? I said, that's not in my DNA. And part of it is because God did not create any two people the same or any two organizations the same. So every day is different. So it's about people say, what should I do? And we always say, that's the wrong question. The question is, what will you do? Because organizing in and of itself has no value. It doesn't. There are some people, I imagine some people listening have known people. I had an ex-sister-in-law who was constantly reorganizing, but never had anything to show for it. There was never any outcome of the reorganizing. Anyway, I was speaking to a group of executive women at a university, and I told that story. And a woman walked up to me, and she said, you just saved my marriage. And I said, wow, that's a dramatic statement. Yeah, I said, that's really big. I said, would you mind elaborating? She said, I came to this conference with the intention of leaving my husband, who I've married for 13 years, because he's a pack rat. But she said, I never, and then the tears started to come down. She said, I never understood until I heard you speak that it wasn't that he wouldn't let go, but that he couldn't let go. His mother died when he was 7. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm willing to go back and try again. So I said, may I make a suggestion? She said, yes. And I said, say something to him to the effect of, I never understood before how important all this is to you. Let's figure out how we can keep it and still live together. That completely changed the dynamics, because what happens in most situations is and God has a sense of humor. Most husbands and wives are different. I mean, it's just the way it is. And the more I say you don't need that, the more they want to hang on because they don't feel heard. They don't feel respected. So I stayed in touch with them for, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 months afterwards. And it had taken 13 years to get that way, but they made massive progress. And things happened, like he would say, he'd have a collection. He'd say, I can just take a picture of that collection. And then I don't have to keep it. So it's the emotion behind all of this. And until we get behind that emotion, we're going to have a hard time. Then the other thing is, you want to have a reason why. So we have a 5-step process that we use with our clients that starts with state your vision. If you were organized, if you your whole life, or if your kitchen counter were organized, or if your junk drawer were organized, how would you know? What would it feel like? What would you be able to do that you can't do now? And we want to make that come alive so you can literally feel it. That ties into your brain, and then the brain begins feeding these things. And then step 2 is identify the obstacles. So then we explore, what have you tried that didn't work? We get David Allen and Marie Kondo dropouts. Both of them have wonderful systems that will work. But people have to work them. And some people say, I had one client who said, I did Marie Kondo for 2 hours and said, if I have to do this, there's no hope. Because it's a specific system. And so our methodology is using this 5-step process to figure out what you will do. And if you know why, we can always get there. Then step 3 is commit your resources. So it's questions like, how much time are you willing to invest in this? And one of my favorite stories, I get this frantic call from this woman. She says, can you come this weekend and organize my entire apartment? And I'm said, well, tell me what's going on. Well, she met a new guy and she'd been at his house and it was beautiful and he was coming and she wanted to, you know, it's like she had a why. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a why, you're not going to get there. So, and then how much time are you going to spend? And I talked with a client this morning where we were talking about how we work together often in 90-day increments. 90 days is a good block of time to make some changes. And so we talked about, do you prefer to work in more blocks of time or do you prefer to do shorter? I have one service that's called laser coaching where people pay for 90 days and they have unlimited 15-minute phone calls. The trick is on every 15-minute call at the end, they have an assignment and they, which they agree to, and they can't schedule the next 15 minutes until they finish the assignment. It works beautifully because it's tiny and it's, there's accountability and
it feels doable.
It feels doable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm thrilled with all the things that you said there. So let's look at how we can take some of this, because I love the idea of your why. And I talk about that in creating your legacy. You need to know why you are doing it. A dear friend of mine named Melissa said once, your why power is much stronger than your willpower. Willpower will get up, give up and give out on you. But when you know why you're doing this and you can remind yourself why you are doing this, it really does continue to propel you forward. And of course, I live with my why. He is currently 19, going on 20, and wanting to become as independent an adult as he can be. And so, of course, when I look at him and all the steps and striving he's doing towards being the best he can be, it motivates me all the time to strive to be the best I can be to support him in doing that. And I get to see that every single day when I look at him. And it's a powerful motivator for sure. So I love that you said that, knowing why you're doing this. What would life look like if you didn't have this obstacle in front of you? That is such a powerful thing for people to visualize, because sometimes the obstacle's so big, the clutter is so much, you can't see past it. But when somebody asks you the question, you're like, oh, what would my life look like if I didn't have this worry? Or if I actually knew where these important papers are and can put my fingers on them? Or when I didn't have 100,000+ emails in my inbox that every time I open it, I cringe because I don't want to deal with it. And I know there's stuff in there that, you know, I probably forgotten that was important or I missed things along those lines. We could imagine what our life would feel like if we didn't have it. It can really motivate you. And people are different. You're right. I've discovered that for me, I like things that have steps and processes, but take time. I'm not a, if I start it, I finish it gal. I really just don't function well. It feels really high pressure to me, but some people love it.
I can tell that by listening to you, and you know why? Because you several times said moving forward, as long as you're moving forward. And that's interestingly enough, one of the ways in organizing, I was talking about there's three skill levels. It's what I call methodology, mechanics, and maintenance.
Well, tell what each of those are.
Yeah, well, and it's like a lot of organizing consultants price per hour, which doesn't work. Because it doesn't have, you don't have an end in mind. It's just an ongoing thing. And because it's not taking into consideration methodology and mechanics and maintenance. So let's talk about a pantry, because it's really easy. So let's say I'm going to organize the pantry. And you know, pantry is important because you're there every day, you know, or your closet or your files. Talk about your files. I mean, when you're taking care of, when you're a caretaker for people, your files need to be in order because you never know when you're going to need to have something.
And there are important things that you need to be able to put your hands on right away.
Because your ability to accomplish any task or goal is directly related to your ability to find what you need when you need it.
Absolutely.
So we had a client whose husband died very suddenly, young. They had 8 children. He went into a coma. He didn't die. He went into a coma for 3 weeks. When he woke up, the very first question was, what's the password for the computer? because they didn't have systems in place to, he'd always taken care of all that. She'd taken care of the children and he'd taken care of all the administrative part. And so anyway, methodology is how are we going to be paper or paperless? Mm-hmm. And there's no right or wrong to that. And that's methodology. That's figuring out the high level, or in a kitchen pantry, it's what are we use? Are we going to use wooden shelves? Are we going to use wire ones? You know, whatever. Then mechanics is how are we going to organize it? You know, how many shelves are we going to have? Or in our files, how are we going to organize our files? And then maintenance is, okay, we haven't yet developed a robot that takes the pieces of paper and drops them in the file cabinet. So somebody has to do that. Mm-hmm. In traditional organizing, as organized, and I did this in the beginning because the industry didn't exist, so we had to amend it up. And I would go into a client and I was doing all of those. I was doing the high level, the middle level, and the low. And then I got bored at the end. And I also realized the client was paying too much because I had to put my price kind of at that middle in order to make it living. But then I was charging what was a $15 an hour job. I was charging $35 back then for. Now, of course, it's much more than that. So we always, when we're packaging our prices, we always look at these different skill levels and often have different people who do different skill levels. So with the same client.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So let's talk a little about digital clutter. Because certainly I know we've talked about email a couple of times. What some tips, and you've already provided a few, like creating that vision of why you might want this done. What would life look like and feel like if you had it done? But if somebody is looking at or thinking about or dreading looking at their inbox, what would be some tips that you would give somebody to maybe get started in figuring out what to do?
Well, when we're talking about paper, we're talking about paper, I would say there's only, and it applies to digital, but let's take paper first because it's easier to understand. There's only three decisions you can make about a piece of paper. You think that this is really complicated, but when we have a boot camp, we do a office transformation boot camp, which deals with paper and digital. And in both cases, the first thing we do is we have people sort, whether it's paper or digital, to three things: file, act, or toss. Those are the only three choices. File means I don't know if I'll ever need it, but I don't have the guts to throw it away.
Fair enough.
So that is a reference file and you can keep as many as you want. We have what we call the cost factor, which is you can keep everything you want if you're willing to pay the price. Mm-hmm. And the price is time, space, money, and energy.
Yep.
So our job is not to say whether or not they should keep it. Our job is to say if you choose to keep it, this is what it's going to cost you in time, space, money, and energy. And is that a price you're willing to pay? And it's not a moral issue. Mm-hmm. So act means the ball is in my court. Or growing up on the farm, my daddy used to have the phrase, where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. And action file is this is what I need to do. Either I need to do it or I need to delegate it and have somebody else do it. Or I need to be accountable to see that somebody else did. And that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. And then toss is everything else. Mm-hmm. Research shows that 80% of what we keep, we never use.
Yep. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And actually, that's known as the Pareto principle, and we've used it for years. And one of my coaches, Perry Marshall, said he believes now, and I think in my own experience, it's true, it's actually more like 95-5. Hmm. So part of getting organized is identifying first what is really important. So for example, if somebody's downsizing, it used to be the way people would go about it was say, well, I don't need to take that. I don't need to take that. I don't need to take that. Well, now the way we would recommend to people is let's start with what you have to have.
Yeah.
And suddenly you've changed the whole dynamics of it. Well, you can apply that, you know, in terms of your email. What are the kinds of emails? The other thing is there are some wonderful tools. There is a tool. It's not my company's, but we use it. And we promote it all the time, called Mailstrom, Mailstrom. If you want to delete thousands of emails very, very quickly and very easily, that is a tool that I would highly recommend. Huh. The File Act Toss applies to email as well. You can set up folders in that way as well. So it's a start.
I love that. I'm actually writing it down right now. File, act, toss. Those are some wise words that you can apply to clutter pretty much anywhere in your life.
And right? That's exactly right. I mean, you can apply that. And another, we're always into asking questions. Okay. So one of the questions that I ask all the time and have my clients learn to ask themselves, and this is something all your listeners can do. How does this make me feel? Whatever this is, if it's an idea in your head, if it's an item of clothing in your closet, if it's if it makes you feel anything negative, it is clutter and you can't afford it. Now, if it makes you feel negative, but it's something you have to do, then the question you have to ask yourself is, what is the next action? Mm-hmm. Because so many times you were talking about your long to-do list and that you weren't so worried about finishing it, but just moving forward. That moving forward is answering the question, what is the next action? Never mind that there's 100 actions. I can't think about 100 actions right now. Nope. I can only think about the next one. And then if it has a deadline, by when? The next action is to do this by then. And it helps to have a deadline and it helps to have an accountability partner. So for example, when I had children at home, I used to schedule a party because that would motivate me to clean up the house.
Fair enough.
And with my taxes, I call and make an appointment with my accountant. And then that means I'm going to get them done because most of us are far more willing to be accountable to someone else than we are to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is some wise stuff right there too. And I love that. So is this something, I love those three words. Is this something that I should file? I'm not sure if I'm going to need it or, you know, for example, maybe you've got a tenant who's moved out and there's been some stuff and you're not sure if the tenant's going to come back and say something or do something. So you're going to file those emails because right now I don't know if I need it, but I feel like I might. So I'm going to hang on to it. And that's my action. I'm going to put that in a file.
Oh, that's
and
a reference. Hang on to it. That's a reference.
Yeah. And then
I want to clarify that because I think we miscommunicated. So if that tenant is gone and you don't know if anything is going to happen, but if it does, then you'll know it. But the ball's not in your court at this point, right? Action means the ball is in my court. So let's say, if the tenant has moved out and you don't know if anything's going to happen, but you're not willing to get rid of it yet, because that's reference. It's putting in reference. In case it becomes an issue, I can pull it out again. Action is, there is something that needs to be done with this tenant because this tenant didn't do such and such. That is now an action file.
So again, files can be like, if I'm acting on things, I'm going to be doing something with it. I'm not going to have it sitting in my inbox. So I'm going to do something. It might, as you said, it may have a deadline. It may have a due date. It might be something that, you know, you need to do by such and such a time, or you will miss out on this opportunity or whatever.
You said something I want to bring up. Yes. Miss out on this opportunity. One of the biggest sources of clutter is fear of missing out.
So how would that manifest?
You get an email, this sale, this tickets to this show, this discount on this shopping, this set course that's going to be offering, this whatever. And it's like, I don't have to decide now because the deadline is not until such and such. So you don't decide, you'll look at it later. You don't look at it later, then you look at it the day after the deadline. Now you've had all that clutter and you didn't get what you want. So one of the words that we live by is system. And we use the acronym saving you space, time, energy, and money.
Ooh, that's good.
So every time there's something that you do repeatedly, you need a system. So an example of that would be if you get an email and there's a decision that you need to make, then you need to have a system for how you're going to follow up on that. And there isn't just one. There's so many. That's where we are certified productive environment specialists work with you to figure out, do you want to make a paper reminder of that? Do you want to put a reminder in your calendar? Do you want to have a to-do list? There's a million different ways that you could do it, but it's figuring out what you will do that's really important. Systems are everything. In fact, we did a podcast recently about a lot of people think they're going to hire an assistant to get them and keep them organized. And it's like, no, because the same skill set that helps you get organized is not the same skill set that helps you keep you organized.
Mm-hmm. Yep, lots to talk about there. And then, of course, there's the toss. I have to tell you that I always feel so good because I open up my email and you know, everybody's got a newsletter or list that you're on. And I literally start with I look through them and go, delete, 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 delete. And I keep, then I go back and look for the ones that I think I might have to take action on. And most recently, I've started unsubscribing because I clicking delete. I'm like, I never read this newsletter. So you know what? I probably shouldn't be receiving it. It's a waste of my time and my energy because, you know, I thought I was going to do something with it. Clearly I'm not. So let's unsubscribe. And that's one less thing that comes into my email box, right? So that I don't have to feel guilty or worried that I am missing out on something. So I love that toss idea. Just
well, and you brought up something here. Like one of the things, again, I learned from my father on the farm, half of any job is using the right tool.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we teach in the digital transformation bootcamp are the ways that your email platform has tools that can help you implement decisions. So it's my business partner, Andrea Anderson, I remember years ago, I used to talk about file act toss. And then she said, it's not enough to make the decision. You have to have a way to implement the decision. So let's say that you open up the email and it says, in fact, I just dealt with one today where I had gotten an email a long time ago for a particular performance I wanted to see. And it said, the tickets will be available on such and such a date. All right, then I have to have a system so that on that date, they're actually going to show up. And email has lots of built-in systems that people really don't know about. So for example, if you're afraid to delete things, you can set up rules that will send an email directly into a folder without you even looking at it. But then if you have to have it, you can go back and find it. So in our digital transformation bootcamp, we just give you so many different ways of doing all these different things because the options are just endless. It really is about what you will do. But the most important thing is doing less, figuring out what really has to happen. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot with questions. So one of the other questions is, does this help me accomplish my work or enjoy my life?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, that takes you back to having to have a vision about what accomplish your work and enjoy your life actually means.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like gerbils on a cage that are constantly going, but never really thinking about what they're going, which is why sleep is so important. I mean, sleep is important for your physical body, but it's when your brain clears out all the trash. And if you're not getting enough sleep, then your brain can't regroup itself and you're paying a terrible price for it. Mm. So I hope that what people hear out of this is not that there are so many shoulds, but more it's what do you want out of life? One question that I ask people all the time in working with them is, if you left this earth tonight, mm-hmm. what regret would you have?
Ooh, or regrets? That's big.
Well, the answer to that is a form of clutter. So for example, I've had people say, I'm leaving my children a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The regret I have is that I'm leaving my children a mess. So one of the reasons that we explain to people that it is so important to get your records in order, your paper and your digital records important is because we never know when we're going to leave this earth. And I cannot tell you the numbers of hours that I have spent with clients sobbing because of the grief of losing someone, but also madder than hell because they were left with a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so it true. Begin with the end in mind. What do you want to leave? And that is, so you want to leave a legacy instead of leaving a mess.
And I love that. And again, the more we can feel organized, feel more in control of what's going on around us, it actually can ease up that to-do list in a whole lot of ways and then allow you to have the time. And I love the acronym you used for the word system there, the time, the energy, the money to be able to do the things that bring you joy and happiness or will have an impact and bring joy and happiness to other people, which often legacies are all about. You live into them and the joy of that as you're doing it, but also the impact it creates in the world around you. And when you have less clutter, you are more free. So I love all of those things you said and all those questions. I'm a big fan of questions. I love me a good question, right? Asking yourself those questions and thinking about what do I need to do next? What is the next activity versus the four pages of to-do list? And oh, this is so overwhelming.
And with the to-do list, one of the things to ask yourself is, what's the worst? So with paper, we always say, or with an email, either one, what's the worst thing that would happen if you didn't do this? If you didn't have it, if you didn't have this piece of paper, or if you deleted this email, what's the worst thing that would happen? And it doesn't have a right or wrong answer. It's just an answer. And then you decide whether you're willing to live with it. Well, with a to-do list, you can say, what's the worst possible thing that would happen if I didn't do this? This is on my list. If I didn't do it, what would happen? Well, I had a client who was actually doing the laser coaching with me, and she was so overwhelmed by her to-do list. She had yellow legal pads of to-do lists that she was constantly writing and rewriting and looking at and agonizing. And when we first started working together, I asked her why she wanted to get organized. And her answer was, I want to spend more quality time with my husband.
That's sweet.
Well, it's big because it's like, that's, you know, we only have each other today. You never know what's going to happen. And if something you're doing is preventing you from that, that's really big. So we started working on what were the things that were prevent. There was a lot of clutter, a lot of physical clutter, artwork that had been taken off the walls and, you know, it's beautiful, but it doesn't really fit here anymore, all that stuff. But then there was her to-do list. And so one day I said, okay, your assignment for the next one is to get up in the morning, look at your list and pick three things that you're going to accomplish. She had no children at home. So let me put that caveat in there. Mm-hmm. Pick three things that you're going to do today. And then you can't look at your to-do list for the rest of the day.
Ooh, that's hard.
When we had our next session, she said, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, tell me. She said, I had a panic attack. She said, I did the three things. And then she said, when I realized that I couldn't look at that list again, she said, it was overwhelming. And she was telling her daughter about it, who happens to be in her 30s and happens to be a recovering drug addict. And her daughter said to her, Mom, that's withdrawal. You are addicted to your to-do list.
Wow, that's powerful.
The good news is she got over it and she and her husband just got back from a 9-week cruise.
Oh, how lovely. So it's all possible.
It is.
I love that. Yeah, I love that, that it's all possible. And again, looking at the things we don't think about, you don't think about how much clutter impacts you until maybe it's too much, or maybe you actually do something about it. And all of a sudden it's like, this is a breath of fresh air. Like, who knew that I would enjoy this space or have more time or be able to relax more? Or now I can actually devote time, like a significant amount of time, to this thing I've really been wanting to do. And I can have the joy of that because the clutter has been cleared up. So I love everything you said. So Barbara, tell us a little bit now about how people can find you, because if I adore you, which I do, I am sure there are people in our audience who like, I need more of this woman in my life. How can they find you?
It's very easy. If you go to the website productiveenvironmentscore.com, everybody loves to measure themselves, right? So this is a little score. It takes 5 minutes. So it's not a big deal. You'll fill out this little score and then it will give you back a blueprint, what we call a total office blueprint. I believe everyone should have what I call the home office for business and life. It's a place in your household that is your command center. And it is not negotiable. There, every household needs it. And I love to work with architects who are designing houses to design that place because it's so important. It has to be a place you like to be. And so it kind of gives you a picture of how to do it. And then when you get that, you also get the opportunity to schedule a 30-minute phone call. If you put, it'll ask you, where did you hear about this? And if you write my name, then they can get a 30-minute phone call from me in which we will customize that for them. We'll help them figure out what is the first thing you need to do because everybody's different. Mm-hmm. This is not cookie cutter. So we're going to take a little bit of time in to look at the vision and get people on the right track. So many times when people are trying to get organized, even if they hire somebody, they spend hours, weeks, months, even years because I'm not organized enough to hire the organizer. And then as a result, they end up doing a whole bunch of things that never should have been done at all. Email is a good example of that. People will spend hours and hours and hours organizing their email. And then they'll come to our digital boot camp. And in a couple of hours, everything has changed. And meanwhile, they have invested thousands of or hundreds of hours of time. So if you're looking for help, ask sooner rather than later. Because even if you don't work with the person, I mean, if you don't talk to us and you don't work with us, at least you're on the right track. And I just hate to see people waste. So just go to productiveenvironmentscore.com. And then the books, if you go to Amazon, all the books that I've written are on Amazon. There's a whole bunch of different books of different kinds there. They're all there. And my website is barbarahemphill.com. You can go there. You can YouTube. We have a podcast every Tuesday. At noon, it's called Pep Talk, Productive Environment Podcast, that where we talk different things on YouTube. So we're available lots of different places to give people resources to help them get on the right track.
Oh, I love all of those things. So folks, all of this will be listed in the show notes. So don't feel like you have to rush to get it all written down. But I wanted Barbara to just tell you where you can find her because some people like to hear it as well as see it. So Barbara, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate the wisdom you shared. There were so many things there that are not, you know, sometimes we think it has to be rocket science and complicated and hard to be effective. Whereas the truth of the matter is often the simple things are the most effective. They're the easiest to take on and willingly do. And I love that. So thank you so much for the gift of your time, helping all of us to understand how we can declutter our own lives so that we can move forward into the legacies we want to see created in the world. Totally appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. And I just love to encourage people to leave their legacy. And I love what you're doing and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Oh, that is so sweet. And folks, for those of you listening, I just want to remind you that Barbara and I think that you are awesome. Go start living your legacy today. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please submit a rating and review and share it with a friend. Together, we can inspire more people to start living their legacy too. And let's keep the conversation going. We would love to hear all about your journey in living your legacy and support you along the way. Join our Facebook community, Living Your Legacy Podcast, where we connect, collaborate, and celebrate each other. Can't wait to see you there.